All right, Psalm 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defender or defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. What we will do in a few moments, I trust that we really do it all of the time. I believe that's somewhat what the apostle meant when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. Our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our hopes are all drawn out toward God. And that's good, because he is our refuge and our defense. But we will pour out our hearts before him. We do that, I trust, often. Sometimes we do it in a somewhat of a formal way, but as we go from one hour to the next, day by day, our hearts are being poured out to God. And we go back again to what JT was talking about this morning, this thing of patience. We notice how the psalmist begins, right? Truly, my soul does what? It waits. My soul waiteth upon God. Because what else can you do? First of all, what else can you do? Man proposes, but God disposes, right? The lot is cast into the lap, but God has the whole disposing thereof, right? So this is what we understand, it's what we know. And to wait upon the Lord is the best thing that you can do. When the Israelites was there before the Red Sea, they've got a mountain on one side and the Egyptians, mountain in front of them, so to speak, Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptians behind them. And what was the instruction, the admonition of the Lord? Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oftentimes, we're so busy we don't have time to see and at least to appreciate and to give thanks for the salvation of the Lord. You know, when that Red Sea opened up, And the Israelites went over as on dry land. And then the Egyptians essaying to follow them, and the waters closed in upon them. And oh, the song that they sang on the other side of that Red Sea. What a song they sang. The horse and his rider is thrown over in the sea. And what is it? Yeah. Still, well, I think we're confusing there. Moses held out his rod over the Red Sea, and it opened up. When they got to the Jordan, it was flooded, and there's where they commanded the priests to go with the Ark of God. And when they set foot in that water, then the waters parted, and they went over again. Though. The same thing, wasn't it? The same thing. God parted it. But isn't it wonderful that when they crossed over that Red Sea, God said, "And ye shall see the Egyptians no more." Oh, but wait. My soul waiteth upon God. But isn't that what prayer is? It is just waiting upon God. Now, waiting doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing absolutely nothing. Because if you're really waiting upon God, you are praying to Him. But the old preachers used to have a saying. And they were always afraid. They feared running, they said, before they were sent. How good it would be today if more people feared the Lord enough that they were afraid of running before they were sent. Remember one of the battles there of Israel, and David was not in that battle. He was there at home, so to speak, and there was a man that wanted to run. And he ran and got back to David, and David says, "Well, what's the news?" Well, he didn't have any. Well, that's the way a lot of this world is today. They're running, but they've got no message. No message. They're in a big hurry. We just sang that song by Wesley a while ago. I think it was Wesley that said one time that he didn't have time to be in a hurry. Wait. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name given among men whereby ye must be saved. Right? So my soul waiteth upon God. Are we waiting upon God today? And listen, this is the thing that we know. We're not waiting in vain. We know that God is going to fulfill every purpose that He has ever purposed under the sun. We just don't know what time. And again, We know that Christ is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back to this earth. He is going to come the second time without sin unto salvation. We just don't know what time. And so that song is good, isn't it? Will Jesus find us watching, waiting? until when the Lord shall come. But he only, there's a good word, isn't it? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Now, it's interesting to note that he when gets down to verse 6, he says the same thing as he says in verse 2, except. There's one word difference, and that one word is conspicuous by its absence, isn't it? And what is it?
Greatly.
In verse 6, he says, I shall not be moved. But you see, this is after he has waited upon the Lord. Oh, it's great not to be greatly moved, but it's better, Sister Joyce, not to be moved at all, right? Another one of the Psalms, he said, he has set my feet upon the rock to stay. Just to stay. There's perseverance for you, isn't it? Here's perseverance for you. I shall not first be greatly moved, but then after I am established, isn't that what Peter says? For after ye have suffered a while, the Lord do what? Establish you. So, yeah, in one sense, then we're not greatly moved, but then in waiting upon the Lord and seeing the salvation of God, we are not moved at all. I believe that that's what God is doing with us now. He is establishing us in the faith and the grace of God, in Christ, and where we cannot be moved. Again, not that we're going to do that ourselves. Truly, my soul waiteth for who? For God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. But, you know, oh yeah, how long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. All the enemies of God. And all the enemies of God are the enemies of who else? All God's people. They're going to be slain. The prophet said, you look for them and you can't find them. Boy, it doesn't seem that way right now, but what does that indicate? It indicates that we have to wait. And we wait again patiently. They're going to be like a bowing wall and a tottering fence. All you have to do is just give it a little shove with your finger and topples over. Yeah, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth. Oh, but they curse inwardly. Remind you of what the apostle said to Titus in the first chapter of Titus, right? With their mouth they profess to know him, but in works, they deny him. Now, you know, one of the greatest works that you can do as a Christian, one of the greatest works that you can do is to wait upon the Lord. Now, JT said this morning, sometimes it's hard to be patient. I think we all agreed with him on that. I know I did. Sometimes it's hard. Because we know if God doesn't do, we know what the consequences are. Abraham and Sarah got impatient, didn't they? Oh, they really got impatient. But look what came of it. Now, aren't you glad, though, that God still fulfilled his promise? It's still affecting us today, but great is thy faithfulness, right? Great is thy faithfulness. When I think about this, I always have to think about Jeremiah and the Lamentations. In chapter 3, we'll just read, I guess, begin verse 18. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Ooh, that's when it gets hard to wait upon God. When your soul is in trouble, it is hard to wait upon God. And yet we must. We must. He says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humble in me. It has a purpose. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I what? Hope. Now, the apostle said, we're saved by hope. Right? Yes. And hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. What a blessed thing that is. But it requires, it's not an option, it requires that we wait upon the Lord. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that do what? That wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him. You see, in waiting, you are seeking. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It's good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at what time? At all times. Sometimes that is hard to do, isn't it? But then aren't you glad that you can remember and believe that salvation is not by your faith, but by the faith of God, the faith of Christ, the faith of Jesus. Who is faithful. Right? Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Let's pour out our hearts then, even today, unto God.